We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you: life and religious liberty. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Hey, everybody. What is the limiting belief of the conservative movement? We dive into that and reflect on a very candid episode here on The Charlie Kirk Show. Make sure you're subscribed and listen to the end of this episode for a special announcement. Also, email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That's freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast by opening up your podcast application and typing in Charlie Kirk Show, and get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. I have the greatest job on the planet. I get fulfillment, purpose in what I do. Not only do I get 3 hours with you every single day, three podcasts a day, reaching millions of people, social media and podcasting. I also, of course, my continued and original passion is running Turning Point USA and Turning Point Action. At Turning Point USA, we have hundreds of full-time staffers working on high school and college campuses across the country. Turning Point Action, we are staffing up and staffing up 60 to 70 full-time people and getting even more. As you know, we have our ballot chasing operation. And as part of my duties as founder and CEO of Turning Point USA and Turning Point Action, I have to raise a fair amount of money. And I don't mind it. You know, the Lord has blessed us significantly. I kind of cringe at times when people are too hard on this idea of donors. There are some amazing donors in the conservative movement. We are evidence of that at Turning Point USA. Donors that get it, donors that are based, donors that are driven, donors that are filled with faith and conviction. It's not a majority of all the quote-unquote donors. There's plenty that don't get it. And on this program, we're able to deliver predictions, insight that I think other shows aren't, because we're in the grassroots. I give hundreds of speeches a year. Tonight, we're doing an event with Riley Gaines at Dream City Church in Phoenix, Arizona. This weekend, I'm giving a couple speeches in Lubbock, Texas at a church. So I talk to the grassroots. I talk to pastors. But I also have an interesting wrinkle as well that I think we're able to offer on this program that other programs aren't. I talk to the people in the high society of the Republican Party. Senators, consultants, chiefs of staff, and the more moderate wing of donors, if you will. So I get a 360-degree, multidimensional view of the American right. And I'm very blessed by that. And so I kind of have to weigh, depending on what room I'm in, I just read the temperature. I always ask more questions than not, because people know what I believe. If they ask me questions, I answer them, but I mean, just watch the show. So I'm always interested. I just kind of pepper with questions. What are you seeing? What are you hearing? What are you doing? And it's so interesting. With some donors, again, we have some amazing donors at Turning Point, so I'm going to just put that off to the side. But some donors where I'm not, let's just say they're not exactly simpatico with all of our views here on the Charlie Kirk Show, especially if they are not sympathetic for Trump, which is fine. I mean, I'm not here to say you have to love Trump. You have to understand what's happening. But there was one conversation recently that I want to fill you in on that I think is something that is a big danger, and it's not isolated to just a particular person. I think it's all throughout the leadership of the Republican Party. And it was a conversation that I had recently with a moderate donor, and we get along well. And you hear me talk about these conversations frequently because I have them. I'm raising money all the time, trying to raise $100 million to go chase ballots in Arizona, Wisconsin, and Georgia, the stuff the Republican establishment should be doing. Literally, when I'm done with this program, I go into my office, eat something quickly. I'm just working the phones, Zoom call, phone call, Zoom call, phone call, Zoom call, phone call. I love it. It gives life purpose. But this one conversation recently, I think, accurately depicts one of the issues facing the American right. And I call it the fallacy of limits. What is a limiting belief? A limiting belief is a story that you tell yourself. We all have limiting beliefs. And if you're honest with yourselves, when you pray, when you meditate, when you reflect, when you ruminate, you identify your limiting belief and you try to challenge it. A limiting belief holds you back. And it holds you back from becoming who or what you are meant to be. These beliefs limit us from reaching our fullest potential. They're often subconscious, by the way. They're very rarely identified in your normal thought pattern or in your words. But when you find them, you're like, wow, I was living under the tyranny of a limiting belief. I was also not as free, happy, joyful as I possibly could have been. We don't even know that until somebody points them out to us. Typically, limiting beliefs are identified externally, a friend, a pastor, a priest, a rabbi, a parent, a spouse. They say, you realize that your limiting belief is, I don't have time to work out. Or my limiting belief is, I can never lose weight. Or my limiting belief is XYZ, XYZ. Now, Tony Robbins talks about this a lot. Tony Robbins writes about this. He's not a political guy. He's one of the most influential authors and speakers. I've benefited a lot from his teachings. Maybe you like him, maybe you don't. The point is he talks a lot about limiting beliefs. I think he's right on. What is the limiting belief or the fallacy of limits in the high society of the American right? Well, I'm hearing it more and more and more. And it goes something like this. Oh, the left. They're going to back off soon. They've overreached and they're going to back off. That the left is going to realize that they've gone too far, that they're too radical, that they're too fringe, and they're just going to kind of go backwards. Now, the more I hear this, and we've touched on this before, it's very important. You have to understand that many of these people saying this are in their 70s and 80s. Obviously, nothing wrong with that. But they remember a country that is dead, and it's very hard for them to reconfigure, to reanalyze, reorient that they're in a different atmosphere than the one they grew up in. I sympathize with that. I really do. I'm 29 years old, and the country I grew up in is completely different. Completely different. Our federal government now says men give birth. We don't have a border. I mean, the stuff that we now accept as normal was considered radical, unthinkable, a laugh or a joke when I was in fifth or sixth grade. So it's even worse if you're 70 or 80 years old. You're looking around and you say, what on earth is going on? However, the limiting belief that still exists is not just that, oh, the country is going to solve itself, is that there's some sort of auto-correct mechanism built in to the American people. That's what I hear a lot. It's like, oh, Charlie, never underestimate the American people's ability to self-correct. What are we, like an autonomous vehicle? What kind of crazy fallacy is that, that we're just going to kind of automatically reorient back to where we need to be? No, it takes effort. That's an act of the will. It needs to be deliberate. It needs to be intentional. You have to be persuasive. That just doesn't happen by some sort of magical force of the natural law. Providence favors the obedient. You just don't kind of keep your head down and be like, well, never bet against Americans. Why was it that Americans always self-corrected? Because of courageous people like Eisenhower and MacArthur, Lincoln, Washington, Jefferson, Hamilton, who stepped up. It just doesn't happen ex nihilo out of nothing. Oh, wow, look, we just self-correct. So I'm hearing this more and more. Charlie, the left is going to, they're going to back off. They've gone too far. They're going to all of a sudden realize, wow, this is too much. This has no evidence whatsoever. It is what we call happy talk. Feels good. Sounds good. Sounds good when you're on the Aspen ski lift with your Prosecco, sipping it and saying, oh, it's all going to be fine. It's delusional. Is what it is. The limiting belief that we are stuck in. We are stuck in this mud, like the Burning Man pagans are stuck in mud. We are stuck in the mud of the limiting belief that the bad guys are going to have some sort of come to Jesus moment and back off. And what is the tie-in to this today? Jack Smith is just getting warmed up. Jack Smith is not done, according to CNN, with Donald Trump and his entourage. They are going to put forward more charges likely. They are just getting warmed up. Proud Boy is going to be facing 22 years in prison despite the fact he wasn't there on January 6th. We are seeing sentencing that is more than for child rapists and smugglers. This is chapter 1, verse 1. This is the Bereshit in the beginning of the tyranny of the left wing. There is no end to it naturally. We must stop it forcefully. I want to talk about relieffactor.com. I want you guys to check out relieffactor.com. 100% drug-free, knee pain, back pain, joint pain, elbow pain. Check out Relief Factor Energy. Help makes your body make nutrients readily available. Relief Factor Sleep. I know a lot of you are probably having trouble sleeping. Relief Factor Sleep could be the best solution for you. Everybody goes to bed. Not everybody sleeps. We're all about helping people live lives that are filled with connection, exploration, passion, and emotion. That is what his life is all about. Make sure you guys are sleeping well. It's a major part of life. Check it out right now. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. We have the best audience. Somebody emailed us, freedom@charliekirk.com, from Conway, Arkansas. Mark said, Charlie, how many times have you heard, quote, there's no way the government would do this or get away with doing something? That is such a smart point. That's exactly what we are talking about. It's exactly what we are talking about. We have these limiting beliefs. Oh, this would not happen in America. I had a conversation with somebody yesterday. I said, Charlie, I don't even recognize the country I grew up in. And that kind of confusion is intentional because the country you remember has been broken. Really, there has been a new founding. And by the way, they look at themselves and their project, which to the normies, to the Republicans that don't think very deeply, which by the way is most of your elected Republicans, they're not very smart. They don't think very deeply about stuff. There's some great ones, but most of them are just not really all there. They're like, wow, it's so confusing. The left looks at themselves as a founding generation. The left looks at themselves as trying to refound the country. They don't like the Constitution. They hate it. It's too slow. It's too deliberate. It's too intentional. So they're trying to refound the country into something new. And how do you first, what's the first step of doing that? Well, there's many steps. They started the Cultural Revolution, and now they're in the phase of locking up anybody who is a threat. Get O'Keefe figured out. Get Tucker off the airwaves. Get Bannon in federal prison. Get Donald Trump in federal prison. You see the pattern, and most Republicans are like, well, let's just let this end. Again, the analogy I hear is we're in the midst of a storm and let the storm blow over. That is the attitude amongst most moderate establishment Republicans right now. Things are really crazy. Let's just let it blow over. Let's just let people get it out of their system. If you understand anything about how the Marxists, the cultural Marxists, the Hegelians operate, this is simply part of a process that will never end. They're going to grind you down to a halt until you're completely abolished. They call this eternally in their philosophical documents and in their writings, ironing out or eliminating the contradictions. By eliminating the contradictions, what are they saying? They're saying we're getting rid of people who disagree. You. This is why speech is not a value. A lot of people say, well, Charlie, what about the First Amendment? The First Amendment has been dead for a while. It has been and will be. They don't believe in it. Because by definition, when you have freedom of speech, you have different factions. You have different parties. They want to iron out those contradictions. They want uniformity. They want totalitarianism of thought. And they're getting close to it. Now, despite all of this, this is only intensifying their attacks. It is by no coincidence that we have this cut 29 I'm about to play, while simultaneously Jack Smith keeps his grand jury open. It's like the sword of Damocles that just stays open. At any time, it could fall on you. We're going to keep the grand jury going. We're going to keep the investigations humming. And it's not necessarily even working, but I'll be honest, we have not seen any backlash from major Republican leaders. We've kind of seen a little bit of a press release and an op-ed. The House Republicans should be defunding the Department of Justice, period. Shut down the government over it. Draw a line in the sand. September 30th, we're done. Jack Smith, we're done. Merrick Garland, we're done. Even when I ask some Republicans to come on the show, they say, oh, well, the DOJ does a lot of good work. Shut it down. To all the human smuggling and child sex trafficking stuff, give it to local AGs or local DAs for the time being. Shut it down. Figure it out. Jack Smith, your money is over. You're putting J6 defendants in pre-trial detention. Instead, we're seeing Republican congressmen that are saying, oh, well, you know, we have to have the back of Merrick Garland. Because they want to be protected by the Uniparty and by the regime. But it's not working. And their acceleration against the American people, their warfare against you, is just in the beginning stages. There is something we can do about it, obviously. We know what it is. We've talked about it on this program. But play cut 29.
Now, we're seeing what is basically a one-man race for the Republican presidential nomination. Take a look here. Our brand new numbers. This is a one-man race. And look at where we had it in June. And you see the movement here. Donald Trump is getting stronger as a frontrunner. He is up 5 percentage points compared to where he was in June. And look at Ron DeSantis. He is slipping. Right now, you're seeing a Donald Trump-dominated race, and Donald Trump's getting stronger.
And Donald Trump is getting stronger. So their crusade against the American people, their blitzkrieg against you, it's just starting. One of the reasons we don't fight is our side has a limiting belief. The limiting belief is that things will get better. I had one person tell me, oh, the left, they will eventually go to their better angels. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. When I say only, trust me, they're the only one. Glenn and the team have been great supporters of mine and Turning Point USA, which is why I'm proud to partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to without funding the left. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Their team will help you find the best plan for your needs. Just go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT. Free activation when you say offer code CHARLIE. Join me today and make the switch today to this excellent company. Go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie. That is patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 878-PATRIOT. So Mike Pence. Mike Pence embodies the old Republican mindset perfectly. Not just ideologically, we're going to unpack that, but also just from an attitude standpoint. There is a smugness to Mike Pence that really bothers me lately. Dare I say, almost like sanctimonious. Mike Pence is doing a speaking tour about how we have to reject populism. Makes you wonder, was Mike Pence actively undermining Donald Trump all throughout the Trump presidency? If he didn't agree with the populist nationalist current through the MAGA movement? So let's get our terms right. I'm a conservative populist nationalist. What is a populist, though? Very simple. It means you listen to your voters. It's that simple. You don't need some massive dissertation. You don't need some sort of stupid moron from Harvard to tell you differently. It means that you listen to your voters. The restoration of the will of the people. Not the will of the administrative state, not the will of the insiders, not a will of the oligarchs. Mike Pence is a paid-for mascot for the neoliberal order. As we've detailed before, and you could tell this to your friends and you'll impress them, neoliberalism is the dominant ideology in both the Democrat and Republican Party in the leadership. There are three issues, there's others, but there are three issues that largely drive neoliberalism. Number one, the unlimited flow of people into a nation. Just let them all in. It's number one. Both the Republican leadership and the Democrat leadership are all on board. Change the country demographically. Lower the wages. Number two, bring in as much garbage as you possibly can. Plastic, textiles, make everything overseas if possible. They call this free trade when in reality it is product dumping. And we have seen the country become poorer, more depressed, less happy, less purposeful, the more we've engaged in the amazing songs of free trade. It's been bad deals for the country. Donald Trump was the only president to say, this is not smart. Free trade does not make the middle class wealthier, makes the oligarchs wealthier. The third one, which is truly the Holy Grail, and I want to have Vivek back on the show. Andrew, if you could make a note, I've been texting with him. He's been treated very unfairly. And I think he's having a lot of courage in how he's standing up against the war mongers, which is invade the world. So if you had to summarize all three, it's invade the world, invite the world, and import plastic. That's neoliberalism. For the last 40 years. The leadership of the Republican Party and the leadership of the Democrat Party have agreed on this, and they have their silly little disputes about how much money they want to borrow and spend. But in reality, the big three, the holy relics, go untouched. Until Donald Trump comes in, he questioned, boom, boom, boom. Close the borders, end the wars, make stuff in America. That will get you 500 years in federal prison because now you're going after the money. You're going after the money. As Jesus our Lord said, the love of money is the root of all evil. And Trump said, yeah, you know, we actually don't need to have hundreds of billions of dollars of plastic coming into America while Ohio workers are dying of fentanyl overdoses. We don't need to have 5 million people cross into our country in an all-out invasion. Why are we in Afghanistan? Why are we funding Ukraine? These questions you're not allowed to ask. Remember, Donald Trump gets called a liar all the time. And in reality, Donald Trump is hated because of the truths he tells, not because of the lies that they accuse him of. Very important. So Mike Pence is now going on this PR tour saying that we have to get back to the roots of conservatism. There are several points of feedback I want to make on this piece of tape here. It's 45 seconds. I want you to listen to the whole thing. I'm going to talk about the ideological, talk about the smugness, talk about his vocab choice. I'm talking about what's really going on here. We have an unprecedented 100-year war. You've lived through a 100-year war. Did you know that? Well, you didn't live through all 100, but you are at the end of a 110-year war. Started in 1913. What war is that? It's a war on the United States Constitution launched by Woodrow Wilson of the birth of the administrative state. Mike Pence doesn't care about that. Mike Pence cares about making sure the pimp, the foreigner, Zelensky, gets all the money. They just spent another billion to Ukraine today. Listen to this piece of tape. Mike Pence, play cut 27.
Our digital team got a copy of your speech today.
You bet, Bill.
And one of the lines you're set to deliver is that, are we going to follow the siren song of populism away from the timeless conservative principles of the Republican Party? Right. To whom are you referring?
Right. Well, look, you look at this Republican field. Whether it's my former running mate or some of his imitators. And there is a push in this Republican primary to move us away from our party's historic commitment to American leadership on the world stage, to a commitment to fiscal responsibility and reform in the face of a massive national debt crisis. And many of those people I shared the stage with, including my former running mate who wasn't there, want to marginalize the right to life and relegate it to a states-only issue.
My former running mate. Mike Pence, you were picking corn in Carmel, Indiana until Donald Trump called you up and made you relevant again. You would have been lucky to be on the board of supervisors at a local Indiana community college until Donald Trump resurrected your political career. My old coworker, what naked disrespect for the man who believed in you. Made it sound like it was your old pal that you used to jog around the lake with. My former running mate, might as well say my old coworker. And enough of the fake stoicism and the Midwestern preacher Baptist vibe, where you have every other sentence you got to kind of blend into the other.
Hey, let me tell you, Bill. I don't really like the way that the former, kind of rolling into one. Enough. We're not buying this kind of synthetic robotic stuff. And I got along with you for years, Vice President Pence. It pains me to do this. You always treated me well when I'm Air Force Two together and all this. But this whole shtick is garbage. It's bad for you. It's bad for the country. It's bad for the movement. And this kind of fake stoicism. We have to reject the siren song of populism. But what the heck were you doing as vice president? You were the one that was telling us that what Donald Trump was doing was great. Donald Trump is beating Pence by 60 points right now. 60 points. The people have picked someone not named you, Pence, but let's just kind of remind ourselves, time out here. Mike Pence was the vice president. Did he disagree? Was he undermining Donald Trump's withdrawal from Afghanistan? Was he undermining the trade deals? Was he undermining the mandate of the MAGA voters? Was he Brutus? Cassius? In Dante's Inferno, the ninth circle of hell is reserved for traitors. Now, I'm not saying that's what Pence did. Many of you believe that in the audience, but he's certainly talking as if he's diametrically opposed to everything that the administration he was the vice president of was doing. Everything. As if he was some sort of an outsider. As if he was just some sort of spectator. Were you actively undermining the president of the United States while you were there? The agenda, the legislative goals and accomplishments? He says, some people don't want us to be the leader of the world. This is neocon delusional talk. Don't fall for it. You want to know, do you hate crony capitalism? Do you hate big government? The most crony activity of all the things that human beings do is war. It's awful. The blood, the suffering, the graft, the deceit. War is the worst thing. And yet Mike Pence says, well, some of my former running mate, all you have to say is you have to say, look, the former president, have a little bit of a respect, man, for at least the office of the presidency. And I bet we could find an interview. Does he call Joe Biden my former opponent? No, he probably calls him President Biden. My former running mate? Man, who needs Democrats? Why do we need Chuck U. Schumer and AOC? We have Republicans like this. And then he's going on this sanctimonious, stoic, fake stoic lecture. We need to reject whatever you stand for. I'm against, man. Really bothers me. Let's play another piece of tape here. Play cut 34.
And I have questions for them.
Yeah.
I want to say to Chris Christie, sir, you have been a champion to the left right now because you have told the truth about Donald Trump. So when they asked you, would you vote for him? Why were you hesitant in raising your hand?
Mm-hmm.
The others all raised their hands. Even after we know that he has committed all these crimes, that he is an insurrectionist, that he is trying to overthrow this government. And yet they said they would vote for him. That is pathetic. And really unacceptable.
Unforgivable. One of my short-term projects is to try to get the Republican Party as conservative as its voters. The Democrat Party is actually in lockstep with their progressive base. They're going for it. Borders are open. They're transing the kids. They're cutting off genitals of 11-year-olds. They're all in, and their base is happy. They're actually even more liberal than their base at times. Why is the Republican Party not as liberal, as conservative as the conservative movement? I'll give you an example. Blake and I were working on this new book, and Andrew, that's coming out near Christmas, hopefully, all about beating the woke right-wing revolution is the working title. And there's example after example, University of Oklahoma, University of Wyoming, and they have DEI, they have drag queens. So why is it that the most conservative states in the country, where Oklahoma, every single county voted for Donald Trump, have super liberal universities such as University of Oklahoma? Does the University of Massachusetts or the University of California have like right-wing influences? Of course not. because we as a conservative movement are weak. We just are. We're getting better. But think about, why is it that why is the University of Wyoming funded by the legislature of Wyoming? Why even give them a dime when they fund this DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion? Do you want to know a true story about the University of Wyoming? Senator Lummis spoke as a commence. I think she went to University of Wyoming, and she spoke as a commencement address about a year and a half ago at the University of Wyoming. And she said, and remember, there are only two biological sexes. She was booed by the students at the graduation ceremony. Then the university came out and apologized and said that the senator was wrong to do that. And we know that there are not two sexes. We know that. And the university president came and defended that. That's the University of Wyoming. The legislature should have responded and said, we're cutting all your funding. We're done. Good luck. Go raise it on your own. We're shutting down the university for treating a U.S. senator that way. But we don't think that way, because Republicans and conservatives, one of the reasons why the country is in the place that it is because our party, our movement, is full of Chris Christies and Mike Pences. Agree and disagree. Or Chris Christie, who is nothing more than a Democrat on stage doing the bidding of the mainstream media and Democrat donors. This the same thing. And this is why I don't even consider myself to be a Republican. I'm an American. I'm a patriot. I'm literally a registered independent. I'm a constitutionalist. I'm a conservative for a reason. I want to see an opposition party that wants to win as bad as the Democrats want to win. We need a massive change. And it's not you. This is the issue, is that you are demanding the right things. You and the audience are conservative. You and the audience are informed. You and the audience are engaged. Your leaders are not. And so this has to change top to bottom, the grassroots, from taking over Republican parties, from taking over state Republican parties, from taking over the precinct committee positions, from primarying these Vichy French Republicans one by one by one by one. And then once we have power, defunding University of Oklahoma, defunding University of Wyoming, defund University of Idaho, just one by... Fight fire with fire. That's just one example of many. One that I've been really thinking about recently a lot. But it comes back to how we started the program. If you think things inevitably will get better, if you think that all of this will calm down, then you are more likely to kind of just turn it off and just hope it gets better. Now, sometimes you have to metaphorically storm the beach. It takes acts of courage. Sometimes you have to be obedient, virtuous, and courageous. We are not a movement that is being led by people that are courageous. We are being led by Vichy French Republicans. Sometimes you have to make the enemy back off and then stand up for yourself and retake the terrain. I know that's the movement we're building at Turning Point. It's about time the Republican Party starts to reflect its voters. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder.
Just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns.
What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.